And so we'll move forward with Ryan and Ryan Larson. So Dr. Ryan Larson is an associate professor and extension economist in the Department of Applied Economics at Utah State University. He specializes in farm and risk management. He teaches courses in agricultural finance, risk management, and decision analysis. So thank you, Ryan, for being with us today, and please go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Shannon. It's great to be with you and with Russ and Hernan. That's great to present with them as well. So what I'm going to do is just briefly add a few comments on the Dairy Revenue Protection Program. As we've noticed, with the other two presentations, there's so much volatility within the dairy industry. So this is just one more tool to put in, a producer can put in their toolbox to manage some of that volatility. So I just grabbed some data. So this is Utah milk prices. I am in Utah, so I'm gonna lean on some Utah data. So I apologize to those in other states, but it's gonna exhibit a similar pattern. What I want to highlight here is some of these when we look at some of these downturn in prices, right? We see these slides in prices. They happen all the time. These slides and dairy revenue protection is offering you a tool to mitigate those drop in prices, those price slides, and we can see they happen often. So this could be a tool that could provide mitigation against those slides that we see quite frequently within a short amount of time. When we look at, so that was Utah. This is Class 3, and Hernan's already done a great job talking about Class 3. But once again, when you look at those price slides, you know, they go from dramatic to just some smaller ones. But we see price slides and a lot of volatility, a lot of risk embedded within these dairy prices. And for the standard producer, it's difficult to mitigate all that risk. And you ask any lender that operates within the dairy industry and a producer, and the speed at which these prices change just causes them a lot of stress. So I think dairy revenue protection provides an opportunity to ease some of that stress. So what we look here, so this is first quarter 2021, and I'll talk about some of the decisions that have to be made associated with dairy revenue protection. But think of dairy revenue protection as just putting the floor down on those prices. With that floor comes a cost, and you can see here that we can insure from 95% to 85%. And so Class 3, first quarter 2021, had a Class 3 price of $16.44. We can insure at $15.62. That would cost us 34 cents all the way down. 90% cost us 18 cents, 85%, 8 cents, and 80%, 3 cents. So you can see the cost, the trade-off between the level of coverage and the associated cost. And with that is that level of protection. So a producer has to look at that and say, okay, what am I willing to pay for that level of protection? Where do I want that floor to be to protect my operation? A producer should also be looking at each one of these floor prices and correlating that to their cost of production. That floor price should be relatively close to what that cost of production is and should provide the basis for determining where that floor should be. So that would be probably one of my biggest recommendations is understand where that floor should be based on where that cost of production is for your individual operation. So as a producer, I love dairy margin coverage because the decisions are quite straightforward. Dairy revenue protection adds some additional levels of complexity for the decisions. The first decision a producer has to make is what's the value of milk to be protected? And just like in the previous slide, that's basically saying where do I want that floor to be? And what am I willing to pay for that floor? So that's the first decision a producer has to make. The second decision is how much milk do I want to cover with the program? This can vary across the operation, But the producer has to decide what's that quantity going to be that, that they want to cover under this program. The next decision, this has to come back. Are you going to price it on class 3 or 4? And within class 3 or 4, you can vary that in percentage basis where you could do all of it under class 3, all of it under class 4, and any combination between those two. You can also do this on the component side. And even to add another level of complexity, you could do a combination of both class and components. So hopefully, as you're listening to this, you can see the importance of having an insurance agent that you can trust as you talk through some of these decisions, because these decisions are not trivial. As you look at that class or component option or the combination, depending on the type of operation and the type of milk that you're producing, one of those options, the components or the class, could have better advantages to you. If you're pricing more on the component side, then you'd want to take advantage of those pricing options. If you're more the class 3, class 4, then you're going to want to stick to those. So make sure you understand those pricing options. The next decision would be the level of coverage. And the level of coverage, I already talked 80 to 95% and the costs associated with that. But also, there's premium subsidies that are hinge on the coverage level. So you can see at an 80% coverage level, you have a 55% subsidy. And at a 95% coverage level, you have a 44% subsidy level. So there's great incentives that this program offers, even at the 95% level with a 44% subsidy. That's a great incentive that minimizes and makes this much more cost-effective for producers to purchase. So as you look at that, understand those premium subsidy percentages as well that are tied to those coverage levels. The next decision a producer would have to make would be those quarterly contracts. So you could insure one quarter ahead, two quarter, all the way to five quarters ahead, depending on how far you'd like to go out. Now that once again, there's five decisions that have to be made, and you could do a combination of those as well. So once again, added complexity to this dairy revenue protection, as you can do one quarter ahead plus three plus five, or it's two and four. So there's combinations associated with that would add complexity to that. And finally, the last decision would be the protection factor, just simply increasing or decreasing that protection factor associated with that index production level. So six key decisions that a producer has to make and really has to think about as they go through this process of analyzing dairy revenue protection. Now, just a quick example of how it operates. So I'm looking at Class 3 milk, April 21 contract. So I'm looking at a 1593. I'm going to insure 1 million pounds at the 95% coverage level. So I'm coming out with just over 151,000 would be my starting point. And so that's based on, as you can see, as Hernan talked about, this dairy revenue protection utilizes the CME, those future contracts, those future prices, to determine what they call those expected prices. So they're relying on those future prices to dictate the future expectations associated with that level of revenue. So then that's the expected revenue. So you'd lock in that expected revenue. Then as time goes on, you would then calculate that actual milk revenue. So you take that 1 million pounds. Then you take the USDA announced prices. So in this case, it was $13.78, just a hypothetical example. Then we take that statewide production adjustment. Like Russ said, this has a regional, so it's based on statewide production for most of the West. So we look at that. If there was something that would impact that up or down, then this is when that adjustment would take place. So in this case, our actual milk revenue would be $137,800. And so then one thing here is now this is a relatively new program. And before I get to some of the indemnities, there's some data that's finally starting to come out to show the relationship between the average of expected. So I'm just looking at class 3, the expected class 3, and the actual class 3. So you can see the actual in the red and the expected in the blue. So the blue would be, as we enroll in the program, that's what would be expected, and the red would be, okay, what actually happened in that time period. And so you can see, let me click here, you can see some of those differences right here. The expected was greater than the actual. Actual was less than the expected. And you can start to see some of the differences, especially here. You can see a large difference between that actual and the expected. And so that's really where this is taking place, is looking at the difference between the expected and those actual prices. And then once what we want to do is not just look at those prices, but look at the revenue here. And so here is the actual revenue. So you remember that actual price was much higher than our expected. And you can see that difference in revenue. And so, of course, that's a good thing when that actual revenue is much higher than expected. But you can also see these other times when our expected is greater than our actual. And so that's when that insurance is going to kick in and start to provide some risk mitigation against those drop in prices. Producer premiums are calculated based on the volatility in the market. So these are changing. But what I did here is I just grabbed some data on looking at the past. So this is the average producer premium paid. So you can see, right? So that you can see all the way up to almost $25,000 per producer in premium paid. So as you look at this, you'd want to think to yourself, what am I willing to pay for this protection? Is that amount, if I end up having to pay it, is that going to be a detriment to my overall financial well-being of my operation? And so that's just what they call kind of the common sense test. But you can see where those premiums have averaged everywhere from just under $10,000 to almost $25,000 per producer as we go out into time. So then what we'd want to do is we take that dairy revenue guarantee minus that actual revenue. So in this case, their guarantee was greater than our actual. So then we'd have the indemnity. We have our indemnity associated with that. That would trigger that indemnity. And then once we look at the state, so what is that state index milk production? So that state index milk production is just the insured milk production and this yield adjustment factor. This yield adjustment factor is going to be the key here. And the question is, why do we care about this yield adjustment factor? And the reason why we care is it impacts the amount of production used to calculate the revenue. And so as we look at this, we'll go through a quick example to highlight what happens to that because of that index production. So in this case, if our actual was greater than our expected, we'd have a 1.01 yield adjustment factor. And what does that mean? So in this case, we still have that million pounds, our USDA announced prices, and that 101% that production, that statewide production adjustment, and that increased that actual milk revenue. And then what if the opposite happened? We went to a 90, so we actually decreased that, so 99%, and that decreases that actual milk revenue. So we can see what that does is that protection factor is that production factor is going to influence the amount of indemnity paid. The protection factor is going to be another way. You can go up to 100-150% of market value. This will increase the premium and indemnity. So there's a risk-return trade-off. You're increasing your premium, but you're also going to increase your indemnity paid. And this would be, if you're a producer that gets higher than average value of milk because of your components or whatnot, this may be one that you want to say, you know what, I'm going to take that up to 150% to increase that coverage I get. So you can see this protection factor, just another quick illustration here, 1593, a million pounds of production, 95% coverage level. I'm going to now multiply that protection by that protection factor of 1.5. That increases my guarantee, my revenue guarantee to 227,000. So just there, I increase that guarantee, but also remember that increases my premium. My actual milk revenue, I still include that protection factor, so I'm at 206,700. So now I can see those differences. Without the 1.5, I was at 13,535 for my indemnity. With the protection factor, I increased my indemnity to 20,302. So you can see the impact of increasing that protection factor for an individual operation. And recall, this only wants to be used if you have an operation that can get a higher price because of some of the pricing associated with your milk. So this is just a brief, we could spend a lot of time, but just dairy revenue protection is a great tool. It can be an effective risk management tool against those price slides. Those subsidies make it very cost effective. When you look at this, it can be inexpensive. You know, as you look at some of the other options available, futures options, it can be inexpensive compared to those. And also it's flexible. It gives you so many options to choose from that as a producer, it gives you a lot of flexibility built into it. When I think about some of the drawbacks, I think the key one for me is there's a lot of moving pieces and there's many decisions. You can't just walk in and sign up for it. You have to really think and analyze this and understand what's happening with this program because of the many decisions that have to be made. So effective risk management tool, but it's going to require a little bit more effort to understand and make as wise decisions as possible when it comes towards deciding how to set up your dairy risk protection policy. So like everyone else, please, you can reach out to me. Best way is by email. I'm happy to answer any additional questions as this is a very brief overview of dairy revenue protection. Shannon, I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate your presentation and as well as all the other presentations as well. And